comfort for her family, Lord, in her passing. In Jesus' name, God, we ask your peace. Lord, all of those who are grieving and mourning today, your word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We thank you that Holy Spirit is our comforter. Father, I pray for Don Burmeister, Jesus, that you would bless him, that you would sustain him, that you would comfort him. In Jesus' name, God, we just pray your peace. We pray for Shirley. Lord, I pray comfort on Shirley as well. Lord, we pray for all of those that are shut in, and Lord, that they would just sense your nearness, your peace, and your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we continue, Lord, to lift up Bonnie Williams to you. Father, we pray you would touch, that you would heal her, that you would sustain her in her journey, God. Pray that the chemo, the drug that she's taking, it's not chemo, but Lord, that you just continue to bless and sustain the body, that her liver enzymes, Lord, would be in normal range. And Lord, we just ask for peace and your healing on Bonnie. We pray peace on Jerry in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for all of those, Lord, that need healing, all of those that we know that need healing. We pray for those that are suffering from COVID right now. God, we ask healing. We pray strength for the lungs in Jesus' name. God, we ask your mercy, your healing. Pray for Danny Kirk. God, a procedure on Tuesday to blast those kidney stones. We pray it would be successful. And Lord, that those kidney stones would pass. We just command them to dissolve and get smaller in Jesus' name. And that they would just come out of his body in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray your hand, your mercy, Lord, to be upon him. That he would not anymore have them anymore, Lord. Just bless him and touch him and heal him. Lord, we thank you for the change of the seasons. Some may be sad to see summer go. But Lord, I pray that in the what happens to our bodies, a lot of us, Lord, with allergies and other issues, Lord, just tiredness. God, I just pray peace and sustaining grace. You keep all of us strong. You know, Lord, just protect us in Jesus' name. Father, we pray. We thank you, God. Was mentioned for the Salukis and Nick Hill, God, the game that they won. Lord, we just thank you for Nick Hill, Lord, his witness to those young men, and Lord, we just pray blessings on that team, and Lord, that beyond winning, God, you're concerned about the integrity and the souls of those young men, and Lord, we just pray blessings and anointing on Nick, God, as he leads that team. Lord, just bless them in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of Don's grandson getting into SIVE, a scholarship, and Lord, we just bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Tucker, the young man who was kicked by a horse. We thank you, God, that he's out of the hospital. And Lord, I pray that he wouldn't have any long-lasting effects from that. We just pray your mercy and your peace, and we thank you, God, for your protection on him. We pray your mercy on Librand in Jesus' name, that you would continue to touch and heal Librand. Lord, your word says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jesus, you said to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. And so, Father, we do pray that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. God, we pray for the persecuted church throughout North Africa and the Middle East, Libya, China, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Jesus, we pray that you would give courage to your saints, to your people. Lord, that they would not falter and they would not give in. We pray, Father, that you would provide for them, that you would comfort them, that you would overwhelm them with your presence and your peace. We pray the joy of the Lord upon them. God, bless them. Lord, it says in your word to remember those who are in prison as if you were one of them. And God, we just ask your peace, your protection, your mercy. We pray for our nation, God. We pray for a turning to you. We pray peace over our nation. God, we ask for, we pray for our leaders because you tell us to. God, we pray you would bless President Biden. We pray you would bless Kamala Harris. We pray you would bless Governor Pritzker. We pray, God, you would bless them. Your word says to bless those in authority so you may live peaceful and quiet lives. And so, Lord, you bless them in Jesus' name. Bless our local authorities. Give wisdom. Pray, God, you continue to protect. protect our teachers and our children in schools from COVID, Lord, that there would be no one. I would ask that no one would die in Du Bois in our school system from COVID. Father, bless and protect and heal. Be a shield all around about our community in Jesus' name. Bless our leaders, Lord, our local leaders, and bless them with wisdom. Pray they would be men and women who honor you and fear you. Father, have mercy. Thank you that you're a God who sees. You are a holy God, and you are worthy of all of our praise. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we pray. life of the Peter and what it looked like for him to live in the anointing. And today I want to talk about Paul, or Saul. His Jewish name was Saul. And what happened to him, and I'm not going to be able to go through his whole life, but maybe pull out some things that maybe you haven't thought of before. Or so I want to talk about that, living in the anointing. In Acts chapter 6, Stephen is chosen to serve. And it's fascinating to me that there was a conflict between the Jewish widows and the Greek widows. And you get two very different groups of people together, there are going to be clashes. It doesn't take us long in church to know that there are just going to be clashes over some things. And so there was some arguing going on, and the Greek ladies felt slighted by the Jewish ladies. And you get a group of ladies together, why are we so grumpy with each other, ladies? I don't understand. Don't understand that. But the ladies were fighting. The ladies were arguing. And it says that they chose deacons to serve. And we think of service in a church, like if we were going to go down and put tables together, well, anybody can do that, right? No, they chose men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom to do that. Even in the mundane things, being filled with the Holy Spirit was incredibly important. And Stephen was one of those people that were chosen to help serve. And Stephen is famously known as the very first Christian martyr. And in Acts chapter 6, Stephen is seized, and he is preaching, even in his being persecuted, and he's telling them about Jesus. And that is such a beautiful illustration and a beautiful example of, in the midst of suffering, we don't need to be hiding. We need to be bold. And Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's telling them about Jesus. Doesn't faint. Doesn't hold back. He's telling them about Jesus. Preaches a very long sermon. Acts chapter 7. Comes down to the end of 7, in verse 54. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He gets a glimpse into heaven. This is the only time we see Jesus standing. Usually it says he's seated at the right hand of God. Stephen sees Jesus standing. In the midst of his suffering, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He sees the glory of God. And Stephen says this in verse 56, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Does that sound familiar? Do not hold this sin against him. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are continually being filled with him, while we become more and more and more like Jesus. We love like Jesus. We're able to forgive like Jesus because we're filled up with him. And Stephen dies his death, and they lay their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And then in Acts chapter 9, or chapter 8, it starts, and Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered out. And Saul ravages the church. Saul was a Pharisee. He was grounded in the word of God. He had been trained under Gamaliel and was a great Jewish scholar of that day. And he was convinced that Jesus was a heretic and a blasphemer. And he hated Christians. He was a zealot. He was zealous after the word of God, what he believed the word of God said, and he is going after Christians. He wants to snuff out this group. He ravages the church. The church is scared of him because he's a persecutor, and he's going after people door to door, literally door to door. What's going on in Afghanistan right now? Going door to door to door to door to door. Are you a follower of the way? Are you a follower of the way? And he's killing people, ravaging the church. In Acts chapter 9, he's on his way to go and kill more Christians. And the heavens are opened. Read about it. Acts chapter 9. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Can you imagine that? Literally struck blind. Has this powerful encounter, and can you imagine what was going on in his mind? Have any of you, this is a hard one to admit, but been so wrong about something? You were so wrong about something, and then your eyes are kind of open, and there's this huge shift. When that happens to us, when we get a revelation, or we've been blind about something, and the lights are turned on, you feel a little bit disoriented, don't you? Physically, you feel exhausted. And you're like, because everything shifts and everything changes. And can you imagine what's going on in Saul's mind? He was convinced that Jesus was a blasphemer. He's going after it. And the Lord says, "Wait a second. Why are you persecuting? Who are you? I'm Jesus who you're persecuting." Whoa. Complete. Like, show. 3 days. He does not eat or he does not drink anything. Verse 10 of Acts chapter 9. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." By the way, I saw the tomb of Ananias when I was in Armenia. That was fun. That right there in Yerevan. It's just, when we read about these people, y'all, this is real. This isn't stuff that's made up. These are real people. So anyway, Ananias, and he said to him, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight," which I think is hilarious, "and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying." When there's a shift and we realize, like, whoa, best thing we need to do is pray. And Saul is. And can you imagine his prayer? "Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I've been so wrong. Lord, guide me into truth. What is happening? I can't see." Can you imagine what it would be like? He can't, all of a sudden, struck blind. You know, he's praying. He's praying. Verse 12. "He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Then Ananias said, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. Y'all, sometimes the Lord may tell us to do things we don't want to do. Had Ananias not done this, think about what would have happened. God would have sent somebody else. But sometimes we have to be willing to do things. how the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. We know from Paul's letters later that, because you read in Acts, and it just seems like boom, 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 boom. Things happen really, really quickly. But Saul disappeared and went down to Arabia for at least 3 years. And one of the things in living the anointing that we need to learn from this story and Saul is that we need to repent. And repentance is changing our mind, and it's changing our actions. And there's a turning in Saul. I've talked about that, the huge shift in his mind that had to take place. He believed one thing about Jesus, but then he's like, whoa, I was wrong. Lord, what? I need to really know who you are. So he went for 3 years, this learned man. This guy, in our day and age, he would have had a PhD. He would have been a professor at prestigious university. He was brilliant, but there was a shift that had to go on in his mind. And for all of us, when we come to Jesus, Romans chapter 12, Paul writes that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and we have to have our minds renewed. This is the word of the Lord. And we don't need to be conformed by culture. We don't need to be conformed by anything else other than the word of God. And there's repentance. There's repentance in the way he thought, and there's repentance in his actions. And that needs to happen to all of us. Repentance. There are things that we believe about God that we need to repent of. There are things that we've believed about other people that we need to repent of. It's our attitudes, not only our actions, but it's our attitudes, and it's the way we think. Oftentimes, there are strongholds in our mind. We cannot get free. We can't get the freedom that we want as Christians because of strongholds in our minds. We believe lies. Maybe we believe lies about God. We believe lies that he's not really good. We've taken our experiences that may be harsh and hard, and we were like, God doesn't love me. God's mean, or at least this. And we need to come to Jesus and say, okay, this is what I think, but what does your word say? And we have to let the word change and transform us. Saul he believed lies about Jesus. He believed he was a blasphemer, but he had to go back and read the word and be like, whoa, there was a huge shift that had to take place in his mind. We want to be free. Really walk in the freedom. Walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's an infilling and there's a baptism of the Spirit. I've been talking about that. But there also needs to be, we need to read the word of God and let it change us. Change what we believe. He is good. He is good. And he is love. My experiences don't dictate truth. That our experiences don't dictate truth. The word of God tells us the truth. Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And Paul took the time renewing his mind, believing. And some of us just need to know who we are in him, and as in our identity, that we are worthy of love, that we are loved, that he died for us. We may not feel that, but he did it. And we need to get our minds renewed in who we really are. That we are his. We are new creations. We are holy. We are dearly loved in him. And we need to get grounded and rooted. Repentance in the way that we think. Turning our minds, renewing our minds. Lord, what does your word say? My experience says this, but who are you? What do you say? I've shared this with you before, but I've really struggled in my life experiencing and knowing that the fatherhood of God, that he's a really good father. I have not felt good this week. It's probably the second worst migraine I've ever had in my life. And I was actually laying on the couch yesterday saying, I was just tired of hurting. I get up and move around for a while, and I could feel the tension. I just, and it just is horrible. shepherd. He sees us when we are weak. He loves us. All of us maybe believe lies, but I was laying there yesterday, Lord, you love me. Doesn't matter how much pain I'm in. Lord, you love me. You're going to give me grace. You're going to help me. And he did. I went to bed last night at like 9:30. I had trouble getting out of bed at 7 this morning. I slept really well last night, and I feel a lot better today, thank God. But he's our shepherd, and he's good, and he loves us. And the enemy is always working to try to get us to believe lies. Lies about God, lies about ourselves. And we need to get grounded and rooted in his love for us, that's shown for us at the cross. Grounded and rooted in our identity in him, that nothing, nothing can snatch us out of his hand. As we sang that this morning, he'll keep us safe in the hollow of his hand. Storms going on all around us, but he's our shepherd, he's our father, he's our guide. Some of us need to spend a lot of time in the word and let our minds be renewed. And we need to repent of attitudes and lies that we believed about God. He's not really good, but he doesn't love us. That's a huge, huge, huge deal for all of us. Grounded in real repentance. Repentance in the way we think. Repentance in our actions. You can't get a more drastic example of repentance than Saul. Saul going after murdering Christians, and he encounters Jesus. And then what does he do? He becomes an apostle and a follower of Jesus. He's going one way, and he turns. It's like, I'm going to follow Jesus now. And that's what repentance is. It's changing our mind, and it's changing our actions. It's turning away from sin and following after Jesus. Repentance. And another thing about Saul that is striking to me, that I think is a really good illustration for us in living in the anointing. And I'm going to talk about this. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the Lord's Supper, kind of break that down, do a kind of a 101 on what the Lord's Supper is, Lord willing. And the week after that, I'm going to talk about presumption. Because presumption, I do it, we all do it, and it's so prevalent in the church, I think everywhere, but especially, I think, in the West, because we just rely so much on our own understanding. And you would presume that Saul, he's brilliant, trained under the greatest teachers of his day. What would we think that Saul would be called to do? If we were to give Saul like spiritual gift inventories, be like, okay, Saul, this is what we think, this is where we want you, this is what we think you need to do in the church. If we were to do that with him, where would we put him? I would probably put him, wow, you're so brilliant, Saul. You need to go after and you need to be a missionary to the Jews. That's what you need to do. You've got all of this training, all of this knowledge. That's what you need to do, Saul. But is that what God called him to do? No. He called him to be a missionary to the Gentiles. Y'all, that doesn't fit with the way we think, does it? And that's a really good illustration for all of us that we have to listen to the Spirit of God. So many of us rely on our own understanding and figuring things out and trying to plug people in here. Well, this is where you need to go, and this would be a good fit for you. That's not what God did with Saul. He made him to be a missionary to the Gentiles. This brilliant man Judaism inside out. He knew it. And yet God called him to go to the Greeks and to the places that had never known anything else and to be a witness to Jesus. We need to follow his leading. Follow his plan for us. Not let other people fit us into a mold or say, this is what you need to do. No, what's the Spirit of God? story was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Saul has been down in Arabia. We learn later that he's been having these amazing encounters with the Lord, amazing just experiences with the Lord. His mind is being renewed. God is working in him. He's kind of hidden from sight for about 3 to 5 years. But Barnabas goes down and he gets him. He finds him and he gets him. Another principle that I want to pull out here is that all of us need a Barnabas. All of us need somebody to walk alongside and encourage us. Had it not been for Barnabas, I don't know if Saul would have been the man that he was. But Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. And God has called all of us, and some of you especially have the gift of encouragement. That's one of the first gifts that I realized that I had, was the gift of encouragement and exhortation. And Barnabas had that gift, and he comes alongside, and he nurtures Saul, and he kind of brings him in, and again, just an encourager. And some of you, Kathy, you're one of them, write notes, and it just kind of comes out of who you are. You can't help not to encourage people, and that just kind of comes out, and we need that. We need that. If that is your gift, wow, do we need you? The body of Christ needs you. Just want to encourage the encouragers this morning. Keep doing what you're doing. And so, but we all need each other. None of us were meant to be alone. And God brings Barnabas into Saul's life. And when we walk and we living in the anointing, we need other people. We need each other. We don't need to be alone. Acts chapter 13, another principle. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands and sent them off. Verse 2 is what I want to highlight. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, to live and walk in the anointing of God, we need to practice the spiritual disciplines. Not as something, to just weigh us down, but because of just being hungry for the Lord. They were hungry for him. They were fasting, they were worshiping, they were in the church, and while they were there, and while they were worshiping, and while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them. We need to take time to be with the Lord, to take time. And I know some of us can't fast because of physical issues or whatever, but if you can't physically fast, set aside today, I'm going to go and I'm going to take a retreat of silence. I haven't done that in a long time. And it's just going out my phone and just being quiet before the Lord. And that's a form of fasting. And just taking time to just listen and be alone with the Lord. And they were doing that. And in that, God calls them and they hear the voice of the Lord. That's another thing. As we live and walk in the anointing, we are going to, as we listen, as we take time, well, he wants to speak. He wants to speak to you. And he probably is speaking to you, but you've got so much other stuff going on, you can't hear him. But he wants to speak. And his calling is on each one of us. And the state that our nation is in, it's all hands on deck. He needs all of us, young, old, men, women, all hands on deck to be his vessels. What is God calling you to do? What is he calling you? All of us have gifts. You have at least one spiritual gift. You don't know what that is? Ask the Lord. Lord, what is my gift? What is it? Show me how I can use that. Living, walking, and being winning. We need to repent. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in fellowship. We need to not put God in a box. Well, this is my strength, so I'm going to do it. No, that's not what God calls Saul to do. Sometimes what he calls us to do, way bigger than what we can do. Another thing, living, walking in the anointing. I preached on this a while back, but Acts chapter 16. Paul really wants to go to Asia. Really wants to go. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God in Asia. As we walk with the Lord, as we're living and walking in the anointing, sometimes there's a desire in our heart. It's a God-given desire, but the timing is off. We want to go one way, and that's what he really wanted to go. He wanted to go into Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbade him. When there are closed doors in our life, when we have this God-given dream, this God-given desire, we really think it's from him, and we try to go after it. Man, have you ever been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to do something? It's not really fun. I told you this, but I was on my way to St. Louis 3 years ago. I tried really hard to go to St. Louis, but the Holy Spirit forbade me. I'm trying to get a job. Every door I knocked on to go to St. Louis was closed in my face. Lord, what is going on? You've given me this desire to go, and I can't get there. I can't get there. The timing wasn't right. But what happened? What happened? He's going. He keeps getting slammed, doors slammed shut. Verse 9, Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. When you feel like you're just having roadblock after roadblock, if there is not open rebellion in your own heart, and you're really seeking the Lord and trying to go his way, and you just keep kind of running into barriers, step back and say, God, what are you saying? And he has this vision, and God opened up another way. Sometimes we're not going to get to do what we want to do, but as we pray and seek the Lord, he's going to open up another avenue. Later on in that same chapter, he is where the Lord wants him, and yet what happens to him? He gets thrown into prison. Sometimes when we walk in the anointing, we're going to get in trouble, because we're walking with Jesus. We're walking in boldness. We're preaching the gospel. And Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And we need to hear that in the church in America right now. As we stand up for Jesus and we walk in truth, there can be some that hate us. But are we going to bow to that? Are we going to, who's our allegiance in? Who are we walking after? Who are we trying to please? The world or Jesus? Saul is thrown into prison. And when we encounter trouble, are we going to say, woe is me? Are we going to lament? Are we going to get angry at God? What is it that Paul and Silas do? They sing. How is that possible? Well, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. I love standing here preaching, because you know what my picture is of? If you can, turn around and look at that window up there. That's Jesus ascending into heaven. He is the high and exalted one. He is the worthy one. May our eyes ever be focused on that, on Jesus, the one who is high and lifted up, the one in the book of Revelation that says, worthy. The kingdom of the Lord has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And later on in Acts chapter 19, it says this about Saul. We call him Paul because that's what his name was changed to as he went into Greek places, because that was more of a missionary thing, you know, not going as a Jew, but so that was his Greek name. Acts chapter 19, Paul, it says this about him. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. There was true repentance in Saul. There was a humility. He was gathered together with other believers. He didn't fit the mold, but God called him to something that wasn't really on his radar, but God called him. He was listening to the voice of the Lord. His focus was on Jesus, even in the midst of persecution. And as he walked with Jesus, extraordinary miracles were done by him. Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. You all, that is who we are as the body of Christ. God didn't call us just to come and sit in a church pew for an hour on a Sunday morning. He called us to be filled with his Holy Spirit so his glory could come through us. And he's waiting on us. He's waiting on you to fully surrender. joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I pray that, Lord.